Yo, 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 what's going on, everybody? This is your boy, the ace that runs the place, one half of the Royal Club Wrestling Podcast. And yes, I am back with another episode, another solo episode with the franchise on the ones and twos. You know how we do. Long time from us for doing an episode, or me doing an episode, one of him, or him doing an episode. So you guys already know, man, there's a lot of news, a lot of things going on in the wrestling world. You know, first off, I want to say, you know, my condolences to, you know, the family of Terry Funk and the family of Bray Wyatt, Wyndham Rotunda, two wrestlers that passed away recently. Bray Wyatt, the most recent, you know, at the age of 36, you know, really, you know, shocked a lot of us and stuff like that. You know what I mean? There's been talks of Bray coming back at some point during his hiatus. But he had like an injury or something like that. Like he was gone for a while. A lot of us didn't know what was going on with Bray. We just assumed it was some sort of injury or whatever. And, you know, so a lot of the news that came out about what had happened to Bray. So, like I said, we're all shocked. And I'm like very, you know, it hurts me because, like I said, you know, Bray is a, even though, like I said, we don't know Bray personally, it's just like Bray, the character, Bray, the wrestler. You know, Wyndham Rotunda was one of the most beloved, you know, wrestlers and people in, you know what I mean, in the world, you know what I mean? And it's sad to see a guy like that go, a good guy, you know. Also, like I said, at the age of 36, like I just turned 37 myself, and, you know, it strikes home for you when you see somebody that's, you know, around the same age as you pass away. And I'm quite for sure Bray Wyatt was in way more better shape than I am, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not in shape. I do not take care of myself like that like I should. And I'm quite sure Bray Wyatt was, you know, at the point was probably like way better health-wise than me. But to see somebody like that, the same age as me, you know, in a close proximity of age-wise, to pass away, you know, it shocks you a little bit. It kind of brings you back to reality that, yo, like death, you know, can come for all of us. You know what I'm saying? Don't matter the age, no matter the race, the color, the profession, how much money you got. You know what I mean? Death can come for all of us at any time, any given time. So, like, take care of yourself, man. Take care of your family. You know, keep yourself prayed up. You know what I mean? Keep God first. And you know what I mean? Just, you know, all we could do is just hope for the best. You know what I mean? But if I could talk about some things, like, you know, some of my favorite moments from Bray Wyatt. I know by far my favorite, one of my favorite things when Bray Wyatt has done in wrestling was the Fiend character. That was one of the most popular, most anticipated to me characters, like debuts of like in modern wrestling history and stuff. You know what I mean? When Bray came back with the Firefly Funhouse gimmick, and you know, he kind of teased this monster, this other side of him. It was very, very, like, it was cool. Like, it was cool as hell to see it for the first time. The mask, the hurt, the heel gloves, the whole, his whole presentation, how he came out, like his targets when he came back from the Firefly Funhouse, like who he was targeting, you know, all the people that he, like, I guess recently, like, lost to or he had feuds with. You know, he was just going at everybody that he had, like, had beef with, pretty much. You know, and It was just a dope character to see, man. I was sad to see that character go. But like I said, another one of his great moments is when he came back to the WWE after he got released, and he came back and, like, he had the most anticipated comeback in wrestling history. I think, like, CM Punk return was up there. Like, when CM Punk came back to wrestling and came to AEW in Chicago, like, it was like the perfect storm, like a shit, you know what I mean? And CM Punk had to be the first person to come out. Like, they couldn't have kept CM Punk, you know, waiting, and especially with that crowd. That crowd was crazy. But to see Bray Wyatt come back, and just the whole presentation of Bray Wyatt coming back was fucking crazy. It was one of my favorite returns in WWE history. His whole you know, the secret of Uncle Howdy, like, what is Uncle Howdy, this on the third, and it was just, like, it was just dope, man, like, everything Bray Wyatt did was fucking dope, you know what I'm saying, like, everything Bray Wyatt did, for the most part, was freaking dope. Like, another one of my favorite parts, things that Bray Wyatt had did, or something that I'm mad that never came to fruition, was the Bray Wyatt Triple H tease when Triple H won the title from Roman Reigns. He had the belt, and I forgot what happened. I think it was like an episode on Raw, but I forgot. It was like some brawl, like some shit was going on or whatever like that. And like, I know Bray, and I think Bray and the Wyatt family was in the ring with Triple H, and Triple H, you know, has the belt in his hand, you know, over his shoulder, and Bray kind of looks at it and touches it. You know, this is before Bray won the title, and like the fans lost their shit, like, during that moment, like, when Bray kind of like looked at the title, and you know he did his laugh, and he did all this, and he touched the title, and he was just like, yo, like I want that, you know what I mean, I gotta get that one time. So to see that never happen, like, unfortunately, like I said, Triple H was at that point in his career where he was pretty much done, like, he was pretty much retiring, or he was like, you know, maybe like a, you know, would have been like an Undertaker, you know, if he did have to retire, if he didn't have his health situation, like, that's, you know, another guy that had a health situation. If he didn't have his, like, maybe he still could be wrestling. Maybe he might have had a match or two, you know, but, you know, a couple matches left in him. But that would have been a great feud to see. The Witness, Triple H, the mind of Triple H, the mind of Bray Wyatt having this feud, you know, for the world title and stuff like that, for the WWE world title, would have been great to see. But unfortunately, we never got to see that come to pass, you know what I mean? It just kind of like went away or whatever. But like, I just remember watching that at that moment, and it was like, it was fucking awesome, man. Like, it was awesome. It was awesome seeing that shit, you know. But like I said, man, we really missed out on that, not seeing that, not having Triple H versus Bray Wyatt, you know, would have been great. Like a prime Triple H versus a Bray Wyatt at that time, the Eater of Worlds, the, what was it called? He had a couple names. That, like, Swamp, Bayou, Bray Wyatt at New Orleans, like, that type of shit. Like, you know, that would have been great. That would have been great to see that. You know, obviously, you know, Bray winning the title at Elimination Chamber, Bray winning the Universal title, Bray and, you know, Matt Hardy coming together, winning the tag team titles. You know, I remember Bray's debut, like when Bray was Husky Harris, and Bray came back as the, you know, Eater of the Worlds and stuff like that. And I remember he was on the main event, you know, for the most part, like, he was like feuding with R-Truth, you know what I mean? And I remember watching that, and I was like, oh, man, like, I'm like, but I was like, yo, this character seemed kind of cool, like, I like how he look, you know. And like I said, Bray was great on the mic. You know, great mic skills and great in-ring performer, and just, you know what I'm saying, a legend early on, man, a legend in the game, you know, has done a lot, has most definitely had a Hall of Fame career, has done a lot, been in WrestleManias, won titles, you know, captured the fans, captured the love for the fans and stuff like that. Like the Fiend character at that time, like, people don't think realize how big the Fiend character was. Like, I said, the Fiend, if they kept it going, I felt like the Fiend could have been a babyface. You know what I mean? Because it could have been you, because, like I said, he had the hurt and the heel gloves and stuff like that. You know, and the hurt gloves made him pretty much, you know, like, hurt you. But the heel gloves, well, you know, kind of like the heel. Well, we only seen him, I think, use the heel glove maybe like once or twice. I think he cured the bunny, like Ramblin' Rabbit, he killed him. Originally Bray killed him, and then killed the rabbit, and then he used the heel glove to heal him, and he came back to life and stuff like that. So it would have been interesting to see what he could have been able to do with that glove. And I even liked his shit with his Alexis Bliss was dope. Like, his stuff with even when he had the joint with, what's the name of that group, that stupid-ass group that he had? It's not Redemption. Was it Redemption? What's the name of that stupid-ass group? Or was it Redemption? It wasn't Revolution. Oh, fuck. Yes, I forgot the name of that group. What was the name of that group? It's not Redemption. It's like, I remember Mace, T-Bar. I'm trying to think. Mustafa Ali was in the group for a hot minute. Was it Revelation? No, it wasn't. Let's see. I'm about to look it up. Mustafa Ali. What was the name of that fucking group that they were a part of? I want to say Retribution. Retribution. The most wasted group in WWE history. One of the most wasted groups in WWE history. But either way, like, they even had like a little feud with that. And like, I could have seen him being like a face. Like, even like I remember when he came to Buffalo. It was before the pandemic hit. And I remember SmackDown came to Buffalo and Bray was there and Bray fought Daniel Bryan for the title. Right. It was like after the show was over. You know how they had like that little one little match, you know, that little one off before everything is done. And Bray came out, fought Daniel Bryan, and it was a cool little match. We knew Bray was going to win the match. We knew Daniel Bryan was going to win. Daniel Bryan was supposed to be the face. I don't even know what Daniel Bryan was supposed to be at that time. But Daniel Bryan lost, Bray won, and it's just like the love from the crowd, how excited the crowd was to see Bray Wyatt as the Fiend. I was like, yo, this dude got it. Like, he got it, bro. Bray got it. It, you know, like the Bray John Cena, the Firefly Funhouse match, that was great. Everything Bray touched was fucking awesome. And like I said, he'll be truly missed. You know what I mean? Like I said, we praying for his family, praying for JoJo. You know, my man was a father, two kids. Everything everybody said about Bray Wyatt was just a kind, sweethearted man, you know, love life, love to, you know, make people laugh, make people feel good, make them people feel wanted, important. Man, it's sad. Like I said, it's sad. Like, you know, it's sad. Like I couldn't, like I said, I couldn't believe it, man. You know, it ain't no, it's happened, it's real, you know, and like I said, we're, you know, like I said, he had the whole world in his hands, so, you know, as far as flies gotta, you know, keep Bray name alive, man. You know, we done lost a lot of good guys, a lot of good wrestlers, boys and girls in this, and you know, so, you know, the wrestling community, we a family, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of my friends that I met, that I have today, we're friends because of wrestling. You know what I'm saying? So wrestling always going to have a big, you know, place in my heart. You know what I mean? I know WWE was going to do something, but, you know, AEW had to pay, you know, respects. Impact Wrestling had to pay respects. Like, pretty much all the wrestling promotions, I'm quite for sure, pay respect to Bray Wyatt, Terry Funk, and everybody that done, you know, been affected by this and stuff. So, a sad day, but, you know, we got to press on, you know. Keep pressing on and, you know, hope for the best. You know? So, That's pretty much all I got to say about that. So, and also we also had, you know, the retirement of Edge. Edge contract was up with WWE. He had his last match with Sheamus. You know, I pick with a lot of people. You know, I pick with some of my friends about saying, like, Christian had a better run has had a better run than Edge. And since, you know, coming back to wrestling, him and Edge is, you know, I think been back around the same time. I think Edge was there a little bit. Edge came back a little bit before Christian, but you know they're both been, you know, been wrestling. You know, came back and, you know, been wrestling at, you know, this point. You know, Edge had his last match. You know, necessarily not might not be his last match per se, but maybe his last match with WWE. I don't know, but like I said, Hall of Fame career, you know, Edge, one of the brightest minds in the game. You know, his second run, like I said, he didn't win a title. Like, I know a lot of people wanted Edge to win, you know, the title, even get the title off of Roman. But like I said, it didn't happen. But Edge had a great run. Coming back, you know, at his age, you know, obviously when you get older, you're going to get hurt. You know, you're going to, you know, get injuries, and he had it. You know, I think he had like a bicep injury. He had a injury that kept him out for a little while, and you know he had his feuds with Randy. He fought Roman. He fought Seth Rollins. He, you know, I'm trying to think who else he possibly had feuds with, but I know those three stick out to the top of my head. Fought Grayson Waller. I seen that. But I know those guys stick out. And I believe he fought Daniel Bryan, you know. So he fought a couple people, had some good matches, had some, you know, good moments for him. Came back to, you know, even they, you know, showed the Brood character again. And, oh, yeah, he had his feud with, was the original leader of Judgment Day. And, you know, then got kicked out of Judgment Day. Then he had a feud with Judgment Day. So, you know, like I said, Edge has done a lot. Did he have a feud with Miz? Him, Miz, Maurice, and Beth Phoenix, I think they all fought and stuff. Like, that's couples match. Miz known for that. I think that's Miz. That's one of Miz's, like, calling cards. Like, it's like, if you're a couple in wrestling and you want to get into a feud and you want to have a match with your wife and stuff like that, just call Miz and Maurice and you got it. Like, it's going to happen. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's going to happen. So, Edge had that with Miz. So, you know, it's rumors that he might sign with AEW, you know what I mean? We can see him link up back with Christian. You know, there's also, you know, talks, like I said, he still has a contract, you know, waiting in his email from WWE that he hasn't signed. So, you know, we're just waiting on to see what's going on with Edge, what's the future holds for the Rated R superstar. So, we're going to wait and see what's going on with that. But, yeah, I mean, he had a hell of a run. Like I said, I know a lot of people wanted him to win the title, but, you know, didn't happen. You know, like I said, he could have won the Intercontinental title. He could have won the U.S. title. He could have been the tag team champion. You know what I mean? No, he didn't win the tag team title. You know, he could have won something. He could have won something, but it ain't happened. So, it is what it is. It is what it is, y'all. So, now, we want to talk about some, you know, other things going on in the rest of the world. I'll cover a show you guys have already heard. You know, AEW had All In at Wembley. And first off, I want to say, man, like, I'm kind of, like, tired of the hate that, like, both companies get, any company that get, man. Like, man, we got to get along, man. I feel like we got to get better with that, you know. I mean, as fans, like, I get it. There's favoritism, you know what I'm saying? If you're a WWE fan, you're always going to root for WWE. And if you happen to be an AEW fan, you're going to root for AEW. You know what I'm saying? You probably like, I like the alternative better than the WWE or whatever like that. So I get that, you know, and it's like I said, it might be Impact Wrestling fans. It might be New Japan, you know, wrestling fans and stuff like that. MLW, whatever, you know, so. But it's like the whole, like, I see it on Facebook all the time, man. I see it on Facebook all the time. I see it on Twitter. I see it on social media, the empty seat thing, you know what I mean? Like, oh, you know, they can't fill an arena, they can't do this, they can't do that. Like, we see that all the time, and it's like, dude, man, can we stop with the hating from both companies, from both fans? Like, yo, man, it's I understand, I get it, you know what I mean? Like, they had the cover over the thing, but I'm like, that happens, you know. I believe I seen it happen. And, you know, when he came to Buffalo, you know what I'm saying? They'll have that one section cut off for the production. You know, they'll have one section cut off for production. Then, obviously, you have the stage. You got that whole area cut off. So, like you said, you might have, like, half an arena. You know, which you might sit, like, an arena might hold, like, 19,000, 20,000 people. Now you cut, like, half, you know, you cut that portion out, and then you might have, like, that little area that's covered up for the production team or whatever like that, for the camera or whatever. And now, you know, say you're missing some seats, you know. And it's like every time, you know, they're showing seats or whatever, like, oh, they're empty and this, that, and the third. And it's like, bro, even if they don't be able to fill up seats, it's like, dude, like, that shit happens, bro. We seen that happen. Listen, we talk about what the WNBA, they can't fill seats. You know what I'm saying? We talk about that with, like, you can talk about that with any team. You know what I'm saying? You could be an NFL team and not fill up a stadium. You know, professional basketball team and not be able to fill up a stadium. If your team trash, you know, if your team trash, you ain't gonna be able to fill up no fucking stadium and stuff like that. You know, so that shit happens. that shit happens. You know, a lot of events don't get sold out, you know what I mean? And there might be a section cut off for whatever reason. You know, but we get so like, oh man, they can't sell no ticket. Oh, they suck. That's why they suck. You know what I mean? Like, dude, let's like I said, this is for the wrestlers. We should be more for the wrestlers than the companies. You know what I mean? Because the wrestlers is the one that's putting their lives out there. The wrestlers is the one putting their lives out there for us to entertain us, you know, 365 days a year. And, you know, it's a tough sport. You could get seriously hurt during that shit. We seen a lot of people get, you know, injuries, and we seen close calls and this that, and the third. It's a very dangerous sport, you know, for guys and girls and everybody that's involved. You know what I mean? So it's like, yo, man, and these people put a lot of effort into the production, putting the rings together. It's a lot of work to that. So it's like, yo, man, like I said, in the wrestlers, as you know, the more the wrestler venues fill out seats or whatever, they have these big arenas and these big shows and stuff like that, the more money that these wrestlers are going to be able to make. Like I said, wrestlers don't make a whole lot of money. There's like a few that's probably like making millions, you know what I mean? But the rest are not really making that type of dough like that. So, you know, I understand it's like, you know, talking shit, whatever like that, AEW, WWE, oh, you know, you suck, you guys suck, I don't know. This, that, and then third. But it's just like, dude, they do it so much. It's like, sometimes I think, like, some people you might be able to take a photo of the arena before the arena even fills up. But like, oh, shit, see, it ain't filled up. Like, I've been to live event shows. Live event shows don't sell out. The TV show joints might sell out, but the live event shows don't sell out. So does that make WWE a failure? Because they can't fill out the live event shows, but they do the TV shows, you know? So it's just like, man, whatever, bro. Like, it's stupid, bro. Like I said, but, you know, anyways, AEW had Wembley. You know, like, this is a company, like I said, five years running, new wrestling company, you know what I'm saying? You know, supposed to be the alternative to WWE or whatever like that. But to go from 5 years to have one of the biggest wrestling shows in that company's history is incredible. You know what I mean? For them to be able to pull that off in Wembley, you know, to nearly sell it out. You know, like I said, they had that one section cut off, whatever like that. But like I said, it's like production and shit like that. But for the most part, that arena looked like it was full. You know what I mean? For the most part, that arena looked like it was full. This is AEW's biggest event, you know, and, you know, it made money. It, you know, it was successful, and, you know, it wasn't a big card. That was one of the things I was worried about with AEW and the All In pay-per-view. Is like, I know Tony Khan likes to have these huge cards for pay-per-views and whatnot, and I was really concerned. Like, I'm like, oh man, they're gonna have like this long ass they're gonna have this long ass pay-per-view. And I was like, yo, that's like, I don't think a lot of people is really gonna be down for that. Like I said, the attendance for AEW's All In pay-per-view in London and Wembley was 81,000, 3,500 people. You know, so that's pretty good. Like I said, you know, there was some drama there earlier, but let's talk about the card real quick. They had which I was kind of like surprised about this. MJF, Adam Cole versus Aussie Open for the ROH tag team titles. You know, MJF, the Better Than You Baby, has won the tag team titles. You had Hook defeated Jack Perry for the FTW championship. CM Punk fought Samoa Joe, defeated Samoa Joe for the Real World Championship. You had the Bullet Club Gold defeated the Elite, the Golden Elite. You had FTR defeated the Young Bucks for the AEW Tag Team Championships. You had Eddie Kingston, Penta El-Zero, Best Friends, and Orange Cassidy defeated the Blackpool Combat Club in the Stadium Stampede match. Saraya, a local in the area, defeated Tony Storm, Hikaru Shida, and Dr. Britt Baker for the AEW World's Women's Championship. Darby Allin and Sting defeated Swerve and Christian Cage in the coffin match. Will Ospreay, this dude is a freaking beast, man. This dude, to me, is like the baddest motherfucker in wrestling. Defeated Chris Jericho in a classic, in a really good match. The Acclaimed with Billy Gunn defeated the House of Black to win the AEW World Trios Championship. And then we had the pay-per-view, the main event, MJF, the champion, defeated Adam Cole for the AEW World Championship. 11 matches on the card. A really good card. There's a lot of the stars, the major stars in AEW were there. I mean, for the pay-per-view that was, booked, and like I said, can't complain. No, I'm quite sure there's a lot of people that didn't believe AEW, number one, will still be around this long. And number two, they're able to sell out a stadium like that. Like I've been saying for the longest, and I know I said this on this podcast, that I think AEW should do an event in Jacksonville because Tony Khan owns the Jacksonville Jaguars and he's done matches in the Jacksonville Stadium. Like, why not have a pay-per-view there? For, AEW, something like that, whatever you could call it, like another thing. But man, like this was great. This is great for the company. Like I said, a lot of people made money. A lot of people are gonna make money. Like I said, this is great for the business. And now we have AEW All Out this Sunday. So AEW was like, I thought that was crazy. When I said AEW was like, yo man, we about to do, we're going to have All In 1 week, and then the following week, we'll have AEW All Out. I'm like, but in a way, this kind of reminds me of, like, this is kind of like something, like, I could see, like this is, like, kind of like their version of WrestleMania weekend. Like, WrestleMania week is a week. First of all, it's a whole week. You know what I mean? You got Raw, NXT, SmackDown, then you have NXT TakeOver, WrestleMania Night 1, WrestleMania Night 2. And then, really, you can kind of count the night after WrestleMania. So, the fallout after WrestleMania. So, you know what I mean? So, it's like, WrestleMania damn near is like 2 weeks. Damn near 2 weeks. Like the week of WrestleMania and the week after WrestleMania is damn near 2 weeks. So AEW was like, okay, now we kind of got our thing. Now we have our thing, All in Wembley and All Out in Chicago. All Out is usually in Chicago. So now, All In looks like it's going to be, for now on, for the foreseeable future, it's going to be in Wembley and All Out is going to be in Chicago. I saw Tony Khan say it was going to be all out, all in, all week. He said, we're going to call this event like All Week or something like that. I'm like, yo, that ain't going to lie. I'm not going to lie. I thought that was fucking dope. Like, Tony Khan is a weird dude. He kind of goofy, but I thought that was a good ass idea. I was like all week or all in weekend or all out weekend or something like that. Like, yo, that's hard. That's a bar. I think that's a fucking bar right there. So I'm like, yo, man, you got to give it up for AEW for that. You know what I mean? So he said, like, shit, he was like, man, 2004, we doing this again. We coming back. We're coming back to London. We're doing this again. So I'm like, yo, man. I'm like, to me, like, it's just exciting, man. Like, I understand a lot of people say, man, these WWE news and news things about, listen, I get it, man. Because I'm a football fan. I'm a Bills fan, and there's teams I don't like. You know what I mean? I hate the Jets. I hate the teams in my conference. I get it. So it's like you shit on the competition, whatever like that. But it's like, at the end of the day, man, it's like you can kind of look at it like we all family. Like, you remember what happened with Damar Hamlin when he pretty much died on the field and got brought back to life, and everybody was like, yo, it was tough for everybody. It was tough for all football players. It was tough for the whole NFL. You know what I'm saying? When one thing happens to a player in the NFL, it happens to all of them. It affects everybody because it's like, yo, it could be you. You know what I mean? So it's like, so, damn, I felt like I lost my train of thought. But like I was saying, bro, it's like, yo, I get it. I get it. Everybody's like, yo, man, fuck this company. Or, you know, this is the, I'm team WWE. I wave the flag for WWE. Or I wave the flag for AEW. I wave the flag for this company, that company, whatever like that. But it's like, yo, we all in this together. We're all wrestling. It's good for, like I said, it's just good to see that this company, within 5 years, they're able to pull off something like this. And also, on top of that, they're trying to do that shit again next year. And then they're adding another, so basically, AEW done adding another pay-per-view. So you got Double or Nothing, All In, All Out, Full Gear, Revolution. So that's five. They usually got four. So it's usually All Out, Double or Nothing, Full Gear, Revolution. Yeah, so it's all, yeah, then you add All In, so that's five. And then they got Forbidden Door, so that's like six. You know what I mean? And then you add, like, they got another one, I believe they've been talking about. It's called Wrestle Dream or something like that. So, you know, that's another one they possibly could be adding to the joint. So that's seven pay-per-views right there. You know, there is rumors that, you know, AEW's trying to have, like, monthly pay-per-views and stuff like that. But that's seven right there. You got two in 1 week. You got Double or Nothing. That's in Vegas. Full Gear Revolution. Forbidden Door. And then you had this other one, this Wrestle Dream and stuff like that. And they usually been doing a lot of collaborations with New Japan Wrestling. So, you know, they're going to have, you know, some of the cast from New Japan come over and all this other stuff like that. So, and then also, too, like I said, Will Ospreay being a free agent, you know, is he going to sign with AEW? Is he going to go to WWE? But the way I'm looking at it, bro, I feel like Will Ospreay is going to sign and stay with AEW. He's going to stay with kind of like this brand. Will he be great in WWE? Absolutely. Absolutely, but I just feel like with this move that AEW made, we're All In, and you know, All In, then you got All Out the next week and all this other stuff like that. I just feel like this momentum for AEW is gonna just inspire a lot of people to wanna, like, yo, I'm staying with AEW. I'm gonna re-sign with this company. I'm gonna stay here. I'm not gonna go to WWE. I'm not gonna go to not the alternative, but like the well known big fish in the pond. You know what I mean? Because everybody's gonna expect you, yo, you should go there. But it's like, nah, man, I have an opportunity to stay here and build something. You know what I mean? The way MJF, his press conference after the pay-per-view, like MJF show what a locker room leader should look like. You know what I mean? He bigged up the locker room. He bigged up Tony Khan. He bigged up the, you know, he was just like, yo, like, this is fucking awesome. Like I said, MJF went from not really coveted like that to be signed to AEW. The only reason they say he got there because Cody Rhodes put a name in for him to like open for like the first All In to now main event All In as the AEW World Champion, and to do it against, you know, Adam Cole, who's, you know, a superstar, is fantastic. And also too, he was in two matches at AEW All In. He was the pre-show match with Adam Cole, won the ROH Tag Team Champions. Now he's an AEW. Now he's a double champion. He's a double champion. He's an ROH Tag Team Champion and the AEW World Champion. Like, you know what I mean? Like, MJF is winning. And like I said, his speech afterwards was something I felt like the locker room needed, that the people needed to see. The people needed to see the AEW, the company's champion, kind of like, you know, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, kind of like, you know, divert the attention from the distraction and just say, like, listen, man, yo, this company, like, I'm proud of this company, the way this company has grown in 5 years to do this, to sell out Wembley, to have one of the biggest shows in the country. Like I said, like, we haven't had an event like this since WCW. You know what I'm saying? I don't even know what WCW event, like, they sold out like that. That was crazy. You know, the only thing I can think of for WCW, I should have did my research on this, but I know the one, the Nitro in Atlanta when Goldberg beat Hulk Hogan. But I don't know when WCW did like a big arena like that. You know what I mean? Like a big, like Wembley. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. And also too, like I said, WWE talking about going to London to do WrestleMania. So to see AEW I feel like AEW struck first. I feel like AEW struck first on that because he did Wembley. You know, so they did a big stadium. You know, WWE, obviously, they could do the O2 Arena and this, that, and the third in London. But they was like, yo, AEW was like, yo, we going for Wembley. Got Wembley. Tickets was selling. You know, so every time I went on Facebook and went on social media, they just talked about tickets selling, stuff like that. You know, and there's a lot of people saying, like, oh, you know, they're not going to reach this, they're going to reach that number. But like I said, AEW proved the doubters wrong, but there's still going to be doubters, there's still going to be haters. But AEW, all you had to do is continue to have success, continue to strive, continue to push the envelope, continue to prove people that you are not a t-shirt company or whatever you want to call it, you know what I'm saying, that you are a legit professional wrestling company, the second biggest wrestling company in the United States of America, okay? Now, there was drama. Of course, you know, CM Punk and Jack Perry had issues, which was, to me, I personally feel like this is something that could have been avoided. This is something that could have been swept under the rug. I just feel like, you know, this was an opportunity for two grown men to kind of like, you know, be professional. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, it's about a situation with like Real Glass. Like Jungle Boy wanted to use Real Glass in a match. I believe it was against CM Punk. And CM Punk was like, nah, I don't want to, like, you know, I don't want to do that. But, you know, it was rumored that CM Punk said that because he believes that Jack Perry, Jungle Boy, wanted to take time off. So he's going to use the Real Glass to kind of, like, get hurt or whatever the case may be. And CM Punk was like, nah, I'm not doing that. And, you know, there's, you know, a lot of rumors was going on and stuff like that. And, you know, who stepped to who. But, you know, like MJF said, like, you know, I'm quite for sure there's a lot of us that wish they could, you know, go up to somebody at their job and, like, choke them or slap them or, you know, fight somebody up your job and not really get in trouble for that shit. Or get in trouble, but, you know what I'm saying? But, like, you know, there's, you know, like, and that's true. Like I said, I experienced that shit at my job. Like, there's people at my job that I wish that I could fucking smack and choke or, well, I wish I could beat the fuck up. You know what I mean? But I can't because, you know what I'm saying? That's, you know, that's frowned upon and I don't want to go to jail and I don't want to lose my job. So you can't do that. But, you know, in wrestling, that's maybe something you can do. And I know a lot of people like, oh, man, you know what I'm saying? They need to get in control of that locker room. And, you know, this don't happen in WWE and stuff like that. But we forget back in the day. Like, back in the day, you could say even early 2000s, 90s, dudes was fighting. Like, dudes be fighting. These are grown-ass men. You know what I'm saying? These are grown ass fucking men. We hear about it in the NBA. We hear about it in the NFL. These are gladiators. These are fucking gladiators. If you step to me wrong, if you say something disrespectful to me, we go fight. It's gonna happen. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, it sounds like nobody really got hurt for real, but it's like, bro, I'm just like, yo, man, where's the compromise? If, let's just say Jack Perry, Jungle Boy, wanted to use the broken glass, right? And CM Punk's like, nah, I don't think that's a good idea. Where's the compromise of being like, all right, you know what? We don't have to use real glass. We can use fake glass, whatever like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, we could just, you know, work something out. Or we don't got to use the glass at all. We can find something else to do. You know what I mean? Like, where's the compromise? Where's the professionalism when we go, okay, like, let's compromise. Let's find an alternative to make this match special. It might just thing work, you know. I'm really gonna say, well, CM Punk, what do you suggest? What do you think we can do? You know? Why it gotta be this this hostility? You know what I'm saying? Is it because of CM Punk? Is CM Punk a toxic, a cancer to the locker room? I don't fucking know. I mean, he's saying that in AEW, but there's people in AEW that fucking like CM Punk. There's people that's like, yo, CM Punk cool. Like there's incidents where you can talk to him and, you know, walk, go to the locker room, ask him for advice. He's sitting there, he's talking, he's trying to be this leader, you know what I'm saying, for this company. Like I said, he's an older guy. He's been around. He's been in WWE. He's been in ECW. He's been in, you know, ROH. He's been wrestling for a long time. You know, wrestling is in this man's blood. This man's been doing this for a long time. So maybe he feels like, yo, like, I've been doing this for a long time. I'm a veteran in this game. I'm trying to, you know, share my knowledge and share my experience with you people so we can have the best product. Like, I came here to, well, now, you know, not only make money, but to, you know, try to make this product the best product we could possibly be. And CM Punk is one of the biggest stars in AEW. We just got to keep face facts with that. CM Punk is one of the biggest stars in AEW. CM Punk get there, you know, it's a little bit more interesting with CM Punk there. Let's just be honest. Like, CM Punk kind of like, you know, you don't, he makes things a little bit more exciting and stuff like that. And I, like I said, he could get suspended, you know what I mean? And, you know, Jungle Boy could get suspended and stuff like that. But I just felt like CM Punk, I mean, like I said, I was on CM Punk's side with this. So I just felt like, yo, man, you know, if you disrespect me and do this whatever to me or press me or something like that, I'm like, yo, bro, like, I'm a grown-ass man, you know what I'm saying? I'm an older dude, like, you know, I'm not that old, but I'm an older, I'm getting older, and I'm just kind of like, yo, I ain't got time for bullshit. I ain't got time for childishness. I ain't got time for shit. I ain't got time for disrespect. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, that was me. I probably would have said something to did something to Jungle Boy, whoever, like, yo, man, like, I'm not, like, about that. I'm not, you're not about to disrespect me, period. You know what I'm saying? So, I kind of understand CM Punk from that standard, but I'm just saying, like, where's the compromise? Where's two grown men that's baby? Like, yo, let's talk this out, this man. Let's be professional. Let's figure some shit out so we can make this thing work. You know what I'm saying? You're putting Tony Khan in a real bad situation. You're putting Tony Khan in a real pickle. But at the same time, I'm like, listen, AEW got a big roster. I'm like, listen, that's the same way. Like, Tony Khan got to look at it too, like, kind of like how WWE looked at it at some point. And he was like, listen, man, when Stone Cold left, when Rock left, when all these other people left, when Hogan left, when all our superstars left, man, we was able to ride the shit. We was able to ride the wave and pick back up, you know what I'm saying? When John Cena, you know, eventually leaves, you know, eventually retires, and, you know, when Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins and a lot of these other people, when some of these talent leave eventually at some point when they're no longer be able to, you know, perform full time and whatnot and do all this, you know, retire and do something else with their careers, you know, WWE is going to be able to just fill that fucking spot up. And they're going to just like, yo, we got, you know, we're just going to fill that spot up with new talent and keep going. You know what I'm saying? Keep the business going. Like, the business is going to keep going. The business is going to keep thriving. It's about WWE. It's not about, like, yeah, the superstars are important, but the brand is just as important, or maybe even more important than, you know, because it's like, yo, it's the WWE. When you see that logo, it's the WWE, you know what I mean? And the same with AEW. When you see that logo, it's like, yo, that's AEW. That's AEW. And CM Punk, to me, is just, I don't think he's, like I said, you can hear comments from other wrestlers, people that work with him and stuff like that. A lot of people say a lot of good things about CM Punk. A lot of people say bad things about CM Punk and stuff like that. So I just feel like CM Punk is just a guy that's like, you know, he's just like any other dude. You know what I mean? To me, he's like any other dude. You know, whether you love him or hate him, it's like, yo, he gonna be him regardless. You know what I'm saying? You can say, I'm the best in the world. Like, I'm come out here, like, I'm the best. I'm the best on the mic. I'm the best in the ring. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of people can't touch me in this fucking, like, in a square circle. You know? I'm going to give you my opinion. Like, just don't disrespect me. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, it's like, you got to understand that. You know? Like I said, you can't go to work and just keep disrespecting your employee until at some point, then you get surprised when your coworker snap on you. You know what I'm saying? You get surprised and stuff like that. Sometimes, like I said, you got to talk it out or something. You know, I just, like I said, I just wish something like that would have happened instead of them, you know, getting fucked up. But like I said, it's funny that I heard that Jungle Boy got choked. Like, Jungle Boy got choked. And I was like, that right there shows me. That's why I was talking about the age. That shows me that Jungle Boy has not been in a lot of fights, in my opinion. Like, wrestling, okay, yeah, that's one thing. I'm talking about, like, fights. Like, I've been in, you know, been in fist fights and stuff like that. And I'm like, yo, you go come up to this man with your guard down? With your hands down? Not even trying to protect yourself and stuff like that? CM Punk took the opportunity to choke the fuck out you, bro. Put him in the anaconda vice grip. And I was like, motherfucker, get out my face, bitch. Get out my face. You know what I mean? There was another incident that happened before this. Like, nobody's talking about the other incident that happened when he got into it with Nick Nemeth, Dolph Ziggler's little brother. like Dolph Ziggler, little brother, tweeted when CM Punk came back, tweeted the softest man alive, and CM Punk was like, bro, CM Punk was like, hold up, bro, I know Dolph Ziggler's little brother, Nick Nemeth, whatever his name is, calling me the softest man alive. Like, dude, you ain't even on TV. He said, I don't even have an issue with you. Who the fuck are you? You are Dolph Ziggler's little brother. Now, I can see if it was Dolph Ziggler. You know what I'm saying? Even if Dolph Ziggler would have said that shit, I would have had a problem, but I would have had a little bit more respect, because I'm like, yo, man, this Dolph. I'm like, yo, Dolph, man, I thought we was cool, man. Like, yo, you Dolph Ziggler, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, man, we wrestled in WWE and all this other shit like that. Yo, man, what's up? But not Dolph Ziggler, little brother. Like, you ain't even, I don't even know if this dude on ROH or something. I don't even know. You don't really see him like that. Like, you ain't got the accolades. You ain't done nothing. You ain't on my level. And you go call me soft? And CM Punk pressed him. Right? CM Punk pressed him. Yo, we got a problem? Do me and you got a problem? To me, you got a problem. And I guess dude was like, no, I ain't got no problem. I was like, no, I ain't got no problem. I'm like, yeah, that's what I thought. Get your ass choked, too. Get your ass any kind of vice grip to this bitch. But then I heard, yo, the craziest part about that whole story is I heard Miro pressed him. Miro pressed CM Punk. He's like, because I guess CM Punk, I guess Miro and Jack Perry cool, you know, or whatever, I don't even know, but like Miro pressed him, and I was like, yo, that's one dude. I would have been like, all right, my bad. I would have backed off there, because I'm like, yo, Miro big as a motherfucker. Like, Rusev a big motherfucker. So I don't see a punk probably like, I ain't no bitch, but I'm like, yo, bro, like, motherfucker Rusev, man, that's a big motherfucker. That's a big motherfucker, man. I ain't trying to fight that dude, bro. I ain't trying to go toe-to-toe with this motherfucker, bro. So I'm like, I'm good, bro. You good. Samoa Joe had to break shit up because Samoa Joe wanted this fucking match, bro. He's like, come on, man. You know, that's what I'm saying. You need somebody like that. You need an enforcer. You need somebody back there like an enforcer. Like, Tony Khan needs to hire somebody that can just whoop motherfuckers' ass, bro. Get big people in line. Like I said, you need like an Undertaker. You need that locker room. You need that locker room leader, that locker room enforcer, they're like, yo, listen, man, we ain't gonna start this bullshit today, man. We got this the biggest pay-per-view in this company's history, and that's what y'all doing? This is what we doing? I'd be like, look, lock him in the room, let him duke it out, then once he get done, we gonna finish, we gonna keep it going, we gonna end it right there. Put him in the room, let these two duke it out for 5 minutes. You get 5 minutes, and we gonna call it a day. And that's it, so that's that, you know, that's that. What else I wanted to talk about before I end this podcast? Damn. I forgot. That's it for your boy, the ace that runs the place, one half of the Royal Club Wrestling Podcast with the franchise on the ones and twos. You already know what time it is. Franchise, scissor me, brother, and feel the power. Baby. Check us out on all platforms. Just type in Royal Club Wrestling Podcast. If you want to listen to all the episodes from this episode to the very beginning, you can check us out, man. We got all our episodes. I believe we damn near, I think we up to 100. A little bit past 100, I believe so. Check us out on Instagram, RCW_podcast. And then it's my personal Instagram, RCW_ace. Check that out. You can see the lion logo with the crown on the head. You know, the ace that runs the place, the lion, the Leo, the king, you know. So that's pretty much it for me today. Y'all guys be easy. Take care. Like I said, rest in peace to Bray Wyatt. Rest in peace to Terry Funk. Congratulations to Edge, you know, on, you know, retirement. Have a hell of a career. We said we don't know in the future what's going on with him. Shout out to AEW for having the biggest event in their company's history. And, you know, looking forward to, you know, seeing them continue to have a success in wrestling, in business and stuff like that. You know what I mean? And, you know, what surprises they got, you know, in the later on in the future. I don't know what's going on with CM Punk. Check. All this other stuff like that, man. But I hope they figure that shit out, man. Whatever happens with CM Punk, Jack Perry, or whatever the case it would be, whatever happens, man, I just wish them the best of luck, man. And like I said, I hope that this doesn't cause too many problems in AEW. But like I said, they done dealt with a lot of adversity already, you know, COVID and, you know, Cody leaving and this, that, and the third and a whole bunch of other slew of shit. But the company is still around. They still got a lot of their talent there. They're still doing, you know, they're still doing their thing. They're getting deals. They're doing, adding shows, you know, bought ROH. You got a lot of great things going on with that company. But, you know, like I said, that's pretty much it for me today. Yo, guys, be easy. Take care. This is your boy, The Ace, and I'm out.